Right, let's declare the word of God. Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing the knowledge of God. Say, the word of God is coming forth this evening. It is the oil of God for me. It's pouring the life of God into me. Say, like you believe it, it's pouring the ability of God into me. And I'm succeeding by it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now declare this like you believe it. Say, I receive direction. I receive counsel. I receive direction. I know what to do. I make the right choices. By the entrance of the word of God. I make the right choices by the entrance of the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, quickly, let's get into the business of today. Now, I want us to continue something. Now, remember, it's our school of prayer, and we are dealing with the power to possess the land. On our kingdom teaching series on Saturdays, we have been talking about going and possess the land. And we have been saying that what God is doing is to empower us, because success in life, victory in life, is by the grace of God. It is not by human ability. It's not that we are not here to teach steps. You know, sometimes you've heard me say this many times. People will tell you these are the principles that even unbelievers use. And I say, once I hear that, I say, I'm not interested. It is no longer a Christian principle, because the weapons of our warfare are only mighty through God. For the pulling down of strongholds. Everything we are going to achieve in life must be through the power of God. He said it has to be by grace, by faith, that it might be in accordance with grace. If it is not by faith, it is not in accordance with grace. If you are an unbeliever, you cannot have the faith to provoke that grace. Grace is God's power that is manifested for you to get results in life. And that's what we are dealing with here, actually. We are learning how to activate that grace so that the power of God can flow. Remember what I said to us the other time? Grace is not just an unmerited favor. I don't know what happened. No. Grace is when God's power manifests. And, you know, I tweeted something today. Of course, based on what we said last time. That is, grace, people say, I don't know what happened. We just thank God for grace. I said, no, that's not grace like that. Grace is manifested like this. Grace makes you 10 times better. Are you getting my point? Daniel didn't get into the cabinet of Nebuchadnezzar because Nebuchadnezzar just looked at him and said, you look handsome like a Jewish boy. I heard that your great-grandfather has a covenant with God. I like that covenant. No, didn't care who his God was. When he tested him, he found him 10 times better than the other boys. That's what grace does. Grace makes you 10 times better. Are you getting my point? Grace makes you excellent. Grace puts skill in your hands. Let me say that again, because it's very important. When Christians talk sometimes, they think grace means, I won't know what happened, I'll suddenly become a rich man. Grace means, I become good at what I'm doing. Grace means that if I do something with my hand, somebody will look and say, you did this? Where did you get this skill from? Grace means that I will do work that people will queue up to. That is, I become a teacher. It's not that I don't know what happened. Are you getting my point? Grace is God empowering me. People who go to school, all right, maybe for 5-10 years to become good with something. I know it instinctively. I like the story of R.G. Lutono, mover of men and mountains. You know, I've discussed it here and there. The man calls himself a self-taught engineer. Grace worked in him. He was a designer of machines. He just used to have ideas. He would sit down. He was not formally educated as a mechanical engineer, even though he's educated to some extent. All right? But he just had interest. He loved machines. In fact, you know, when his wife says he's working too much, he said, no, I'm not working. I'm playing. That's what he says. I'm not working, I'm playing. These are just my toys. His toys are earth-moving equipment. He invented one massive, I forgot the name he called it, but it was like something like a forest eater. It has a name, something like that. I can't remember the name. Literally, it will enter into thick forest and leave behind it smooth land. It will knock the tree down, chew it up, and throw it behind as dust. Many of the oil rigs, I think it was one of the pioneers of floating oil rigs that you use on top of water. Only him built, I think, half of the tanks that America used in the Second World War. It wasn't a small, look, the man, yet he did not go to school formally to learn to be a mechanical engineer. Now, I told you a story of something that happened once. He went to church, they had some issues in church, you know, some program or stuff. Then when he got back home, he was tired. He went home to go and sleep around 11 o'clock or so. As his head hit the bed, the pillow, an idea dropped in his head. He jumped up again, ran to his study, and started sketching the next machine they are going to build. He started drawing it, you know. By the time he finished, next day he went to work, and then gave his sketches to his trained engineers. Those ones now started looking at it, trying to decode it into proper engineering drawings. That's what they call grace. I hope you are getting my point. That's what they call grace. It is not grace that I was just going on the road, the machine just grew, praise God, and I drove it home, and I made 10,000 of it, and now I'm a rich man. No. God can do miracles for you, like I said before. You don't know anything, you go for an exam, and you pass. Once he's finished doing it, you know what you do? Collect the certificate, just keep quiet. Don't tell anybody. He said, how many of you passed? Put up your hand. You want to give a testimony? He said, the Lord said, I should tell no man. There are things he does. He says, see that you tell no man. Go and read the story I've told many times. Ben Carson's story of when he had a crisis in his, you know, in his education. And God gave him a vision. And with that vision, he passed the exam. I like one thing the man said at the end of the day. He said, after that, he passed. He went back home and promised God never to put him in that kind of situation again. That, God, I won't do this to you again. But as a student, I will have to put you in a tight corner where you have to give me a revelation last moment to be able to pass my exam. Please, I'm sorry I did that to you. I won't do it again. That's a man who understood what grace is supposed to be. Grace is not supposed to make you lazy. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his power, which is his grace, working towards me, did not prove vain. Why? You see, that grace ignited me, and I worked more than them all. You see the product of my life. That's grace. Grace is not that I just like to sleep. And I wake up, things just move. That's not grace. Grace means that if I love to sleep before, I've put my sleep in the proper place. I wake up at the right time. Everything has a season. I do my work. It doesn't mean I work physically more than other people because it's a vain for a man to rise up early and to go to bed late. But while I'm working, what I'm doing is skilled. I am better than the other Babylonian boys. My ability to understand the markets is better than that of the man who has a degree in economics. My ability, do you follow? Let me give you an example. Now, this is not bragging, all right? But I have to use myself as an example. Amen? I have a grace, all right, is to teach the scriptures. And if you are going to be a teacher, the grace comes in two levels. The second level is the speaking side. The first level is the understanding side. It's not just when you come, when you start opening your mouth and anything that comes forth, all right? That's prophecy. It's different. Now, sometimes I tell my wife when I discuss, I say, look, anytime I pick the Bible, all I need to do is just read it. I must understand something. I don't know why. It's just the way it is. The other day, I picked the book of Ecclesiastes. Good enough, I learned how to use the Bible app, the one that's on my tab and on my phone. I learned how to use it properly. So that's, for me, so excellent. So I take my notes on it, and as soon as I take the notes, it's automatically backed up to their server. So if I put on my tab, all the notes I made on my phone will just drop to it, all right? I just picked Ecclesiastes and started reading. Every verse had a long commentary. Every verse. I was telling my wife, I look at this. It's as if Ecclesiastes was saying that, where did you go? I was sent to give you understanding. You've not had my time for a long time. I told myself, sometime next year, I have to teach from there. Just, you know, we've not done school of Bible exegesis for a long time. Just take the book of Ecclesiastes and start looking at it. Now, I'm going somewhere. I've not even reached where I'm going. Now, when I was in my youth service, that was many years ago. I did my youth service in Taraba State, 92 into 93. I had a friend, because when I was serving in the barracks, he's a copper, we call him pastor. He has a degree in theology. So he and I, because he was a Christian, we became closer than the other coppers, because most of them were not believers. So he was a Christian. So we have a lot of chats. I still remember the day we're in his room and we're talking. So something about, he read something in Genesis chapter 1, and I gave him a line in Hebrew. I don't know whether I get the point. He looked, he sat up. Where did he hear that from? I said, what is it? We read this in the book. His book now. We used to have a lot of discussions on Bible things. Now, this is not the gist. After we finished NYC, he wrote me a letter. And he said that, oh boy, that you challenged me to read the Bible. Now, he had a degree in theology. I went to do my NYC with a Bachelor's of Medicine and Bachelor's of Surgery. He had a degree in theology. And he wrote me at the end that, oh boy, you made me get up to go and read the Bible. I threw a challenge for him. Why? We used to talk a lot, you know. When the man would be talking sometimes, because he did these courses he took in school. Textual criticism, higher criticism. You know, talk about the German school of theology and stuff like that. And we'll be arguing. I don't know whether you get my point. And he had the degree in theology. So by the time we're done, the boy said, oh boy, I have to show something that, you were in school learning physiology and anatomy by chemistry. Pediatrics, obstetric and gynecology. I was there reading this thing. Then you are coming to talk like this. He said, he went back home and said, no, this guy. Somebody say grace. That is what grace does for you. It's not inherent ability. I don't think it's inherent ability. It's just because of a call. All right? So when I was in university, I read both of them. I read my medicine and I read my Bible. I read Bible commentaries. Now, my wife asked me, that was about on Saturday, I was still lying down in the morning. My wife came and said, please. She was studying the Bible in the sitting room. She now entered the room, asked me a question about what Jesus said when he said that which the sons of this world are wiser, you know, than the... You remember it now. So that one, when he said that, make for yourself friends from with money that then they will receive into eternal habitations and stuff like that. So my wife, of course, if you read that portion, I'm not discussing it today, there's a very good answer for it. So my wife just came into the room, I was lying down and said that, please, can you explain that? This is, of course, if you read it, it's a bit confusing. That as I said, Jesus is telling you, use money to make friends who will receive you into eternal habitations. It's confusing. Most people can't relate with it. And, you know, you use the Bible to interpret the Bible. You know, you must use scriptures to interpret scripture. You can't, if every other portion of the Bible says, go to the left, and one says go to the right, look at that one critically. Say, where were you when everybody was going to the left? And I've studied this thing for a long time, okay? And I found out that most of the time, if you look closely enough, you will find a good explanation, all right? Now, what I'm telling you, so as soon as you just told me that, I just said, get my companion Bible. I was lying down. I'd not even gotten up. I said, get my companion Bible. She said, which one? I said, it should be on the floor near the bed. Check on that there. I'm not using it a long time, but I knew where it was. So she went through the pile of stuff there and brought the thing out. She had to go out and go and clean it. It was full of dust. So I said, okay, open to that area. I just showed her, see those tiny, tiny comments. Go back to, I was showing her how to use the Bible. Believe me, it's hard to, she was looking at it like this. She couldn't see what was inside. I had to sit up and say, come, this is how you use it. It's called Companion Bible by Bollinger. Now that Bible, it taught me a lot of things. That's the only person I ever saw that analyzed that place properly and explained it. I bought that Bible in 1992. That particular one that my wife was holding, I bought in 1992. And it cost me more than one third of my month's salary at that time. One third of my month's salary then went into that Bible. I remember the day they delivered it. There was one of our sisters that was staying in Abba, and they used to sell, buy books from Abba, so she was going to help me buy it. So, The day I received it, I was so happy. One of the other coppers was there. And he said, he used to call me Blackie. He said, Blackie. You know why they call him Blackie? You think it's obvious. It's not really obvious. It's not obvious, I'll tell you. It's because there was a musician that time called Blackie. There was this Nigerian reggae musician. I don't know, those of you remember him. Blackie, yes. It was of him, they used to call me Blackie, of course, it cannot work out the rest. So he said, Blackie, that was happening. I said, I was feeling so happy. I was fetching water that day. So he said, what's going on? I told him that they just delivered my Bible. So he looked at me. In the course of discussion, he found out how much I paid for it. That was 1/3 of a whole month's earning. I don't know whether I get the point. I bought a Bible for 1/3 of what I was earning as a house officer. He looked at me and said, Blackie, sorry to say it, bless you, don't be crazy. He's a worried boy, you understand? That's how you to speak pidgin. He said, sorry, I'm sorry to say it like this, but bless you, don't begin crazy. One, the amount of money was alarming. I don't know whether I get the point. As long as I just got a new Bible, how much is it? Tell you, you are working the same place. He knows how much you are earning. And you took 1/3, 30% of your salary or more to buy the Bible. On top of that, you are now rejoicing that, do you get my point? The thing has come. The man decided that this must be a case of lunacy. That's the only thing to explain this behavior. Now, that's the kind of thing I did then, all right? So when my wife asked that question that day, I'd read that thing before. I just said, get that Bible. The Bible is still in my house, all right? And she brought it out until I opened to it. Now, that's, I'm talking about grace. Remember, that's what I'm talking about. The grace to preach the gospel. It didn't make me, you know, just sit down. I just wake up. Once I just stand up, you start getting blessed. It didn't start with that, too. That grace gave me interest. It made me spend money. Once I was in Lagos, I was engaged to my wife then. But we're not married yet, so we used to talk on the phone. So she called one day, and then things were tough because we were on strike for a long period, and there were no salaries, okay, throughout the strike period. And I was really broke. That's the brokest I've been in my life. You know, if you are broke for 2 days, that's not broke, you understand? When you are broke for 3 months, stretch, you know, at a stretch, there's a problem. Are you getting my point? There is a problem. There is a problem. So one of those days, and I said, I was today, and I said that I went out and I bought 2 books. Both of them are here now. One of them is called The Complete Works of Josephus, and the other one is The Heritage of Great Evangelical Teachings. Now, it's not the book that's the issue. It's the fact that I was broke. I had to go and borrow 5,000 naira to buy the books. Even this wife that married me now, she said, I still remember her words that day. She said, I don't have words for you. I don't have words for you. Because she couldn't understand. I know this guy is flat broke. She actually offered to send me money one day. And I felt like, send me money. Why? I mean, you're just leaving school. I'm working. How will I get the money? So I said, okay, she'll go and give it to a driver. A Debbie Motors driver. And I'll go to the park. And in my mind, listen, let me just die in the will of God. Not the woman I want to marry. It wasn't like it was a bad thing. Just that I was like, what? No, I said, thank you. No, thank you. Because I've always been known for it. I say things openly. I don't hide anything. So the next time we now spoke, and I said, you went to borrow. You didn't borrow money to eat. You didn't borrow money to do anything serious. You now went to borrow money to buy 2 books. Now, I'm talking about grace. That's the kind of thing grace does for you. You get my point. It affects the way you behave. You know, if you see that I'm teaching today, I'm teaching the scriptures, I tell you, you know, it's not just, there's inspiration, amen, there's inspiration, but the grace first breathed on one aspect, gave me understanding. And this is how it did it, you know, kindled interest. I spend money on things other people wouldn't spend money on. I will spend money on it. If they say, okay, well, let's go and play, and let's go and listen, somebody's coming to preach, I will leave the play and go and listen to the teaching of the word of God. Give me insight. That's the result of grace. Now, I'm a preacher, so it's nice to hear it. They say it sounds appropriate. But it's not only preachers, you understand? That's how it is for the whole of life. As a businessman, that's what God will do for you also. You will give you pick books of men who have succeeded with the knowledge of righteousness. You read it and you'll be seeing things other people are not seeing inside it. That's what grace does for you. Grace makes you excellent. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Grace makes you excellent. Before you even begin to manifest outwardly, grace will already have produced something strong inside you. When you talk, listen, I want to digress a bit. Yeah, a single woman, a man is chasing you, he wants to marry. Please stop looking at what he's driving or what he's not driving. Stop looking at what he's wearing or what he's not wearing. Close your eyes and open your ears. Hear him talk. You know a man who will succeed and the one that's already failed. Hear him talk. It's talk. Let him just close your eyes. Close your nose. Yeah, may not have nice perfume. That's the idea. Then open your ears and let him talk. There's a book I was supposed to work on. I started it, but I've abandoned it for a while. It's supposed to be a second part to Should I Say Yes? It's titled I Need to Know. Are you getting my point? See, it's when he's talking from... Now, listen. God will give you understanding. Amen?
Amen.
You know, with God giving you understanding, you know a man who's lying. Like one of my friends told me that one guy wanted to marry. He didn't have a house of his own that he was staying. They say, why no? Why? How come you not rent your own house? He said, I know they like to rent. I like to build. You should know that guy is a thief. Yeah. True story. I don't want rent. Small young boy. You can't pay rent, you can build. So it's the guy that's marrying him that I feel sorry for. That is no sorry. She's a mugu. He's not a mugu. He's a con man. The man will not get a house where they stay. Why you never move to your own house? Just squat with a friend. He say, I not like to the rent. I like to build. So it's one or two. Either I squat or I build. It would have been even better if the guy said, man, okay, don't worry. I'm trying to gather some money. Right now, the money never completes. Is that not good? I mean, that's life. That's life. That's life. So that just, by the way, the point I'm making is that it's when somebody is talking, all right, you will see the conviction in the soul with which this man opens his mouth and talks. That's when you know it's a man that's going somewhere. That's when you know. Why I brought up that issue is that grace bursts something inside you. You get my point? A deep conviction that, you know, I said it before, when David saw Goliath, he did not doubt that he was taking Goliath down. He didn't doubt it. He knew it for sure. He didn't come and say, let me die for my God. No. Is this, I will kill this uncircumcised Philistine for his own God. As small as he was compared to that fellow, grace had given him the technology by which he was going to bring him down. What am I trying to say? Grace makes you excellent. Despite your certificate or lack of it. Grace is that thing that makes you better than people that are physically more qualified. Grace is where you will stand like this. A well-trained electrical engineer will stand there. And they will say, this boy is an electrician. You know the electrician? He learned it following his boss around. But we prefer him to wire a skyscraper. Because by sitting down, he has learned. He's speaking the language. He said, no, that cable, we need to transmit about... we need to transmit about 50 kilowatts of energy to the top floor. This cable can't handle it, the dimension. And they're looking at her. But you said this boy is not... he has read. Grace has given him understanding, taught him the knowledge, connected him with the reality of the moment. That's what grace does. What I've just said, grace makes you what? Excellent. That's what I'm trying to explain. Grace makes you excellent. It is not grace that, I just went for that exam, I didn't know anything. I don't know, and I still passed. The Lord is good. No. It is that when you went in there, you opened your mouth, they realized that you may not have gone to the schools that the other people went to, but you have found to be 10 times better. I hope you're getting my point. Grace makes you able to do. That's what we are saying. Grace makes you able to do. Anybody that relates with a man, the woman whose life is powered by grace, all right, feels the ability in that fellow. People have confidence in your work. That's what grace is. Please teach this to every Christian you know. When you see a man, you know, one of our brothers does this in school. I knew him, but I didn't know when he did this misbehavior. What happened was he was a law student. In the morning, everybody will be going to class. He'll be laughing. Why is he laughing? He said, all of you are relying on the arm of flesh. A student in a university, laughing at his roommates who are going to lectures. Why? Because he does not need the arm of flesh to pass. There are things God can do, but he will refuse to do. Yeah. You know, God can rain manna for all of us right now. But he said, no, I'm not going to rain manna. All of you will go and work, you earn money, you go to the market. The young man refused to go to class. What's his logic? I work my face and now my shine. Christians do it till today. I'm working my face and I'm not working my shine. Listen, every season in life has its assignment. That's what I keep on saying. That's how you balance it. If you're in school, you're supposed to go to lectures. God could make you pass without you going for lectures, but he won't do it because he's encouraging bad behavior. And one thing, like I tell my wife, is you're raising children as an example, you would never encourage bad behavior. A child throws a tantrum to get something, he must never get it. Ask my children, they know. They've never cried to receive anything. When you cry in my house, you receive punishment. So my children don't invest crying in getting anything. It's a bad investment. I see parents sometimes say, give in, give in so you can stop. My children, they never had that privilege. The only thing you're allowed to cry for and get was when you could not talk and the only language to tell us you are hungry is cry. Is nyeh, nyeh. You get the breast, fine. Once you grow beyond that, once you can open your mouth and pronounce something and make specific requests, crying is out of it. Tantrum side, no, I don't encourage. And that, like I said, that's just by the way. Okay, that's by the way. God also does not encourage bad behavior. A student is supposed to go to class. When you make go a refusal to go a habit, he will not encourage it and make you pass by faith. You don't read your book, you just use faith to pass you. He won't. Not because he can't, but why should I encourage bad behavior? So our brother, one result came out. He failed from the beginning to the end. And the word of God came alive to him. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I obey your word. After that, I became a diligent student. Faith does not mean you shouldn't do the work you are supposed to do. Grace, like I was saying, it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. Grace makes you excellent. What grace will have done for him is he will go to class. He will have read the subject ahead. As the teacher is teaching, he's absorbing fast, fast, fast. When the teacher makes a mistake, he puts up his hand and says, excuse me, sir, I have a small problem here. You said this, this, and that. Shouldn't it have been this, like this? Go and read your Bible well. When Jesus went, when he was in the temple, he was not teaching those men. He was asking questions. The questions were so deep, the men had to search to be able to answer him. That's what grace does. You go in there, you're in the lecture, you ask some questions, the people will be wondering, this boy, are you sure you are in 100 level like everybody else? These are questions that I expect from people who are in their fourth year. Grace doesn't put you in hostel, you don't read, don't do anything, expect to pass. No, grace makes you excellent. I hope you are clear. Any work you do, let me just say something. How you know you are going to succeed? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You are succeeded already. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The first manifestation of your success is not the money you get. The first manifestation is when people start talking about the excellence with which you do what you do. Once people start coming and say, look at the work you did. I don't like it too. In a day, you have 10 customers, 6 come back with that kind of talk. You have succeeded in life, amen? Say amen now, say amen. You will succeed in life, amen? But the time hasn't come for the manifestation. That's where I'm getting to.
God says, oh boy, oh girl, go and improve. The sign that grace is really working is that when you're done, people say, who did this one? You did it with your hand. You cut this line with your hand, not a machine. Then you know that, yes, the glory of God is being revealed. I'm saying it again. Grace makes you excellent. Let's get back to my main message for today. I mean, that's just because it's a school of prayer. That one is all the thing we'll discuss on Saturdays. But that's just explaining what grace is. We are supposed to be talking today about how to tap into it. How to activate that grace. Grace must be activated. This is what we have as our heritage, our benefits, our privilege as believers. We are able to activate grace. You are doing something. Everybody is doing it one way. You know it can be done better. You want to know how to do it better. You activate grace. It's not inherent ability. It is a grace. Go and read the story of Bezalel. God said, I put in him the spirit of the craftsman. It was God that endowed him. So that when Bezalel is working with gold, everybody will stare. When he's working with silver, when he's carving anything, he used to do the work of an excellent craftsman. And the Bible says, God was speaking, said, I was the one that placed upon him that excellent spirit. That is what we need to do, is activate it. It's our privilege as believers. Let me read two scriptures to explain what I'm going to say today. But that's the basis for the prayers we are praying, or how we are going to pray. Remember we said, it is not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of God. We read that from Zechariah chapter 4. Alright? And then, you know, remember, because of time now, I'm watching my time, I've spoken quite at length, and we've not gotten to the main thing we want to do. Remember that Zechariah saw two olive trees feeding the lampstand. And he said, this is the word of God to Zerubbabel. And we said that, what are those two olive trees? He said, they are the anointed ones, the sons of oil. That these are the ones who pour forth oil. That's why I keep on emphasizing the sons of oil. That's literal Hebrew. That is, their job is to deliver oil. He said, the two of them stand before the God of the whole earth. And what is their job? They are feeding the children of God, who are the light of the world, with the anointing to excel. They are feeding the children of God, who are the light of the world, who show forth the excellencies. The Bible says that we have been called to show his excellencies. And he said, arise, shine, for your light has come. That is, when we shine, what that means is that we are showing forth the excellencies of God in all that we are doing. How does it come to be? It is by the infusion of the oil. We shine by burning the oil of God. And that oil comes forth by prophesying. That's what we are emphasizing. The oil comes into your life by the prophesying of the word of God. It does not come by your labor. It comes by prophesying. My interpretation of that, even though it can have other applications, somebody may study it more and find something maybe even more accurate. There are levels of accuracy. But the way I saw it, the one that happened in the life of Zerubbabel, is that there were two prophets, Zechariah and Haggai, and they were prophesying to those men who were walking. Let's open this Bible, our Bibles, to this particular portion. The book of Ezra, chapter 6. I want to just read one scripture there to see what those two sons of oil, what they are. Because of time, I just quickly get to the verse that I want, all right? We don't have so much time left. Okay, let's just read a bit of context from verse 13. Then Tatanai, the governor of the province beyond the river, Shetar Bozenai, very funny, interesting names, all right? And their colleagues carried out the decree with all diligence, just as King Darius had sent. Now, verse 14 is where I actually want. And the elders of the Jews were successful in building through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they finished according to the command of God, of the God of Israel, and the decree of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Now, please notice this. The elders of the Jews were successful in building. How? What was the mechanism? Was it by their labor? No. Was it by their strength? No. That's what Zechariah was saying. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. How does the spirit come? He said it came through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. That is, these people, when they uttered words, those words fired the people. It put a spirit inside them. Read the Bible well. Ezekiel said, the spirit entered into me when it spoke to me, and that spirit set me on my feet. That spirit enters into you and makes you excellent. That spirit enters into you and removes tiredness from your system. It refires you when you thought you should have been tired. When everybody's running away on holiday, all right, because they want to go and see fine places, just find out that the ability to walk, the ability to use more time than they are using, all right, comes into you. The tiredness that many people will have felt, you are not feeling it. Why? Because the spirit is coming into you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That's how it is. This is the success of the child of God. It is by the prophesying of the prophets. But there's something I want to emphasize, which is very important. Paul says something to Timothy. He said that there is a... Okay, let's just read that also. Very important. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Because there are two levels of prophesying. God will say to John, you must prophesy again. That is that prophesying has two levels. First time you hear a word, it is good, you have received it. But that word can lie dormant until you learn to take the words, do you understand, and use them in the second level of prophesying. It's very important. God will tell John, come and see the things that are going to take place. John will see them. You now say, okay, now go and prophesy. That is, I first showed it to you. That's the first level. At the second level, you have to declare those things into the earth. There's another way of looking at it. I'm speaking the word to you. I've been deputized, all right, to impart the spirit of God into you concerning success in life, concerning the ability to take your own inheritance, concerning the ability to bring down giants. That is the first level. So I'm prophesying, I'm impacting a spiritual gift. But sometimes people receive spiritual gifts and they lie dormant. Now let's read the scripture. You see what I'm trying to explain here. Remember, I'm trying to emphasize to us that it is not our strength. It is what? The work of the anointing, the oil of God that comes through the entrance of his word. These men succeeded because two men were prophesying to them. And I believe those are the ones that stood for those two olive trees. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at one thing that Paul wrote to Timothy here in verse 18. He said, this command I entrust to you, Timothy my son, in accordance with the prophecies, level 1. Notice that. In accordance with level 1 prophecies previously made concerning you. Do you get the way I read it like that? That is, in accordance with 1, the prophecies made concerning you, so that by them you might fight the good fight. That's level 2. That is, the word has been sent to him. He's now supposed to take the words and use them to fight. That is, you've been coming around. You've been hearing me teach. You've heard other ministers teach. People have given you insight into the word of God. You have picked the Bible and the Spirit has breathed upon it. And some words have leapt up from the pages into your life. That is level 1 prophecy. Now, but then for it to be effective, Paul wrote to Timothy, you must activate that grace. I'm adding my own words now. Why? How? By using the prophecies to fight a good fight. That's my message for today. What do? We use the word of God. Because we say that we succeed not by our strength, but by the oil of God. We activate it by taking those words of prophecy. Like now, maybe you're hearing me teach, or you use me as an example, the words I have spoken. There are words that I will speak, they will just stick with you. And those words are supposed to be used to fight. Life is a fight. He said, go in and possess the land. Begin to contend, all right, with the kings there, with the nations there, and then take the land from them, which means it's a fight. I give an example. You are going to have an idea to develop a business. I have many people in mind. If I have two people in mind right now, men who have, I won't mention names, okay? Men who have succeeded or are succeeding. Let me not use the word have succeeded. That's a very bad thing to say, all right? Who are succeeding. Success is a process. You know, it never ends. It never ends, all right? So they are working in a realm of success and it must continue to increase. Your success 10 years ago cannot be what they are talking about today. These two men, one is a Nigerian, one is not a Nigerian. Okay, there's a third one also who I've also heard of. It's an American. These men, they handle everything with prayer. I want to bring out the issue that they have opposition. Go and read the story of Strive that I mentioned the other time. You will see they want a license. There's a problem. They go and pray. Are you getting my point? They want permit for something. There's somebody's giving them issues. They may be in Zimbabwe there negotiating with the government. But the boys are in South Africa, okay, and they are having a prayer chain and they are declaring the word of God. I know a man in this town, the same thing he does. Tomorrow I'm supposed to have a meeting with the villagers and to discuss some land matters. So you guys in the office, you will pray today. Tomorrow we are going to go and discuss. But today, what are you doing? You are praying. Please listen, this is what Christianity is. This is what Christianity is. We succeed by the grace of God. And is that prayer I'm talking about? How do we do it? He said, you will, with these prophecies, war a good warfare. The words you have heard are not meant to just give you information you see that at home. No, you take them and then they become the way you fire your day. Before you get up in the morning, before you leave your house, you speak to that day. The day has ears. I hope you are getting my point. The day has ears. What you will do that day has ears. You will speak words that, listen, today, favor will follow me. I am surrounded with favor as with a shield. That's just a word. I am surrounded with favor as with a shield. That is, favor will defend me. That's what a shield is. Maybe you're supposed to have a discussion with a very powerful man because God gives people authority. I hear that the man is tough, difficult to see. You say, listen, God surrounds me with favor as with a shield. You are in your house, you have not gone out, but you are speaking the word of God. I am surrounded with favor as with a shield. I am surrounded with favor as with a shield. Listen, the time people spend making phone calls, you don't use your time to make phone calls. You spend your time making prophetic calls. I hope you're getting my point. That's how Christians overcome in life. Let me just digress. You want to counsel a student or your student? This is a subject is difficult. How can you tell me a subject is difficult? What I tell students, all right? Even when I was in school, I was fellowship president, so I had to preach and encourage the other students like me. I kept on saying, if you're an undergraduate, your courses are undergraduate courses. For that reason, you can know it, you can understand it. So speak to your book. Tell the book, open to me. I have the spirit of Daniel. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say here. That's what I mean by warring a good warfare. That's how Christians succeed. Unfortunately, the world has taught us all kinds of methods. There's a book I have in the house. I saw it with somebody, so I bought it off him. How to Master Your Memory or something like that. I'm not saying it's bad. But that is not how we master memory. You find that you're always forgetful. In fact, that's the one you should attack with prayer. Why am I always forgetting? Why am I always forgetting? Am I not blessed in and out? Am I not the head and not the tail? When you declare words like that, listen, you know, what happens in life is that, you see, you know, when I was in secondary school, right? I was a science student. And I remember the day we did add maths, you know, additional mathematics exam. Now, where I'm going is this, how words are very powerful. How words are very powerful. In fact, if I write now, you'll say, doctor's handwriting. You know, my handwriting is not good, okay? But actually, it's not because I'm a doctor. I learned that bad habit in secondary school. And you know what happened? They told me that brilliant students have bad handwritings. That's all. I lost. Listen. I was taught in primary school to write by a man, okay, who was taught by white people. I hope you're getting my point. Who came out of the British era. That was the man who was in charge of our school. All right? It was a private school. Now, then man will inspect how you write your cursive. You know cursive? Yes. Yes. The man will teach you how to write. And I learned to write cursive. But when I got to secondary school, a science student, and science students were supposed to have bad handwritings. Good handwritings are for those who don't know much. So I discombobulated my handwriting. And that was it. I never recovered it again. The few times, one day, I was writing when I was in school. Before the days of phone and emails and all of that. So my friend Chuk said, Panky, is that your handwriting? I said, I'm writing my mother. He said, oh, no wonder. That is... I took time, I had to slow down. Because the boy looks, Panky, is that you? I said, oh boy, now so there was a time I was like this regularly. What I'm thinking is that words just ended it for me. The same man, when we were doing admas then, in my whole school, we were only six that came for the exam. And I remember everybody just talked that it was tough. And we even felt cool just walking in. Your question about one, Avega, I don't know this question. I know, later, of course, I passed it, but not very well. I don't have the grade now, but I had a C6 then. I don't have the grade now. But, you know, the thing is that all of it was just because of the, you know, the youth environment, young boys, teenagers, just deceiving themselves. And listen, if I listened to one of my friends and not listened to the other, I would have had a similar problem in physics. Within physics, I have what you call SS1 now. There was from 4. First term, all of us, we did not pass. Second term, we did not pass. Now, I had a friend. He ended up becoming he studied banking and finance later. I don't know, that one became an engineer. That one came to me and I said, look, what kind of thing is this one? Why should we be doing this subject and not pass? That subject is hard. Like, he's dropping physics. When senior class, where you could, you had to stream that what you wanted to do. I remember, and this was my closest friend. He was dropping physics. Like, why? So I went to meet this other guy. I said, yeah, Mr. Have you heard? This guy said he's dropping physics. Too. And he gave me a word, like a prophetic word. He said, our teacher, does he have 2 heads? I remember very well. He said, the man teaching it, did you see 2 heads on his head? I said, oh, that's true. He doesn't have 2 heads. Oh, so 1 head is all you require. Do you know from that third term till we finished SSC, we passed consistently. I became a doctor, the other guy became an engineer. If we had listened to the other fellow, we would not have done physics. I'm just going to have an illustration of how you use words to fight. I'm going to have something here. You know what Satan does? Every day. That's why I told the story. This is how he weakens people, weakens their ability. Listen, your children, speak to them every day. No matter how badly they are doing, make sure your words are always positive. Correct, you know, correct them, but end with positive words. You can do it. I don't want to hear you say you didn't do it. You didn't finish your homework, you must finish it. Because I know you can do it. Stop being lazy. Can you see? The words are, you're correcting, but the words are actually constructive. Stop being lazy. That's an instruction. It's an empowerment. It's a prophetic, you know, ordinance. Stop being lazy. The body will stop laziness. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not, you're a lazy boy. You're a lazy boy. You're always lazy. The boy says, yes. Amen. 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 You have to know how to fine-tune your words. You tell the boy, stop being lazy. You heard me? So, just imagine that your children are saying amen to all you are saying. Just imagine it. And that the spirits are saying amen to the things you are saying on their behalf. I don't know what I'm going to do with this boy. It's going to put me in trouble. Just imagine somebody said amen to it. You think you are trying to stop the trouble. No, you are activating the trouble. It's better to say, listen, you will not put me in trouble. Amen. This your misbehavior will not stand. Amen. This your laziness will not be established. Amen. You see what I'm trying to say? Now get up and go and finish your work. Amen. Don't worry. You will do better next time. This is a child who has failed. Just imagine somebody is already saying, amen. I'm talking about how to do warfare with prophetic words. Paul wrote to Timothy here. He said, that gift is already inside you. Prophecies were given concerning you. And you're supposed to use the prophecies to fight a good fight. I was saying earlier, listen, truly in life, there are obstacles. There are troubles. There are people who will not do business in a country like ours because of certain obstacles. And I want you to understand, all of them can be surmounted. Multiple taxation can be surmounted. Lack of constant power can be surmounted. What Christians need to do is know how to do their warfare, which is with prophecies. You are doing a project, you are doing your business in an area where the local government people like to terrorize and harass and disturb. Sit down, look at the laws. If they are breaking the laws, that one is even easier. You quickly judge them before God. If the laws are on their side, but they are unfair laws, you still go to God and say, Lord, these laws are not fair. I hope you are getting my point. No, don't react like Israelites that want to perish in the wilderness. So that's the problem with Nigeria. You can't do business because Just imagine that somebody is saying amen to all you are saying. You can't do business because of multiple taxation. You can't do business because of power failure. You can't do business because of... You can't do business... You know, you keep on prophesying. That's why we fail. God says there are problems I know. I said do warfare with prophecy. And let me say another thing. There is nothing that exists as a challenge that God has not spoken a word concerning. And the word he spoke, he said, that is the foundation for prayer. We make a mistake in Christianity. A lot of our prayers are founded on wishes rather than on prophecies. What I mean is this. I need a new car, so we're going to pray. Let's begin to command and ask for a new car. Then tomorrow, we need a new this. We need money. We're always praying based on need. Prayers based on need. Mentioning needs should be minimal. I'm not saying they're totally wrong, but they should be minimal. Prayers should be primarily based on prophetic words that we have already discovered. I'll give an example. You know my favorite scripture. So we don't have money. We don't have material resources around. We don't just go and say, look, we need money. But Jesus said he knows you need them already. So what information have you given now that's added to the bank of, you know, digits in heaven? What are you supposed to say? What has he said concerning the time that people need money? Then scripture start popping to your head. Lord, you have said, you will cause prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. In this my business, this my endeavor, I declare the word of God over it. ABC XYZ company, hear the word of the Lord. Prosperity will flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. He said his seed will be mighty on the earth. You are my seed. You are something I am producing. You will be mighty on the earth. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. Every mouth that rises against you in judgment, I hereby condemn. That's prophetic praying. People gather together and say, in this market, we will run you out of business. And it happens. They can say, you know, overtly or subtly. You go back home again. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. You begin to declare, say, Father God, if they gather, it is not because of you. Anyone that gathers against me will scatter because of me. In the name of Jesus, their conspiracy will scatter. Prophetic prayer. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Governments will be changed for your sake. Laws will be rewritten to favor you. I like the testimony of Tunde Bakare. Beautiful testimony. He was a young lawyer. And Pastor E. Adeboye was in church. They raised money for this today. Asked money for piano tomorrow. Money to complete the roof the next day. So he came and said, sir, this is not good. Pray that God will bless me. And you will never have to make this announcement again. So the man prayed for him. And that day, I don't know whether the following week, he got to work and they fired him. I heard the testimony from his mouth. Watching him preach. They fired him. So he went back to the church and said, sir, like you didn't aim that prayer correctly. The grenade detonated in the wrong place. He said, sir, I told you to pray that I should be blessed, but something has happened though. What happened? I got to work, I was fired. He said, Pastor, yeah, the boy started laughing. He said, the man laughed. He said, I felt like shooting him. I was sitting there, I prayed that I would be blessed. You prayed, I was sacked, and you are laughing. I don't know whether you get my point. And if he's sorry for me and say, ah, my son, it shall be well. All things work together for good. He didn't say anything like that, though. He said, I'm laughing. So he looked at the man and said, sir, what is funny? And the man said, listen, the kind of money you are praying for cannot be paid as salaries. What am I supposed to do? He said, go and start your own, he's a lawyer, go and start your own chambers, go and start your own business. He says, it's like you don't understand. The law in Nigeria, by the number of years of experience I have, I am not allowed to own a private practice. The law is as a professional of that years of number of experience, years, I have to be under somebody else. I can't start my own business. Pastor Yedipo said, well, I don't know. That's the only thing I have to tell you. Go home. He said he got home. I don't know how many days afterwards. He turned on the TV, watching network news. He heard that the decree that said people like him cannot stand on their own as a practitioner, had just been abrogated. Who's telling you that they didn't rewrite the laws because of him? Of course, after that's it. He went into business for himself. And the first job he got, they paid him what was 2 years' salary. In one instance, they paid him what previously was 2 years' salary. I hope you're getting what I'm going to say. That is the advantage believers have, the ability to pray. I told the story of David Green, some of the people I was referring to earlier. David Green is the reason why you have YouVersion Bible on your tab, on your phone. Barack Obama and his policy say you have to pay for contraception and abortion as part of your health care for your staff, even though he doesn't believe in those kind of things. He said, I will not pay because I run my business on biblical principles, and the law of America cannot make me change my mind. They said the fine will start counting, I'm not giving the correct date, but assuming 1st of November, all right? We're in November now, okay? Hobby Lobby is the name of the company of David Green. David Green said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to pay it. They said, you don't pay it, you start paying the fine. And he said, the fine will cripple, it was a daily basis. Something like that. The fine was going to cripple them within a few months. It's a company worth about $2 billion. They were going to be paying, I've forgotten how many millions, every few days. But the man was determined he's not going to pay. That this runs against my conscience. It's a privately held company. The government cannot make me do this. He went to the first court, he lost. Next day, appeal court was going to hear the case. Just to stop the fines first, why didn't iron out everything? The night before, he gathered his family and their friends, talked to everybody, please pray with us. Don't think the decision, because these are satanic motions. You must get the point. These are satanic motions. So when the brethren gathered and they prayed, next day they went to court. To everybody's surprise, the justices ruled in their favor. He personally appealed it to Supreme Court. I don't know whether you get the point. You win a case and you still appeal it yourself. This is my own interpretation. He said the atmosphere is hot. The spiritual motion is strong. This is the time to finish this thing. Let us strike them. Oh God. Derek Prince, if you go and listen to aggressive prayer by Derek Prince, he will say that you have to strike the Syrians until they are no more. So he decided to strike and strike. So he went to Supreme Court, and Supreme Court again ruled in his favor, and he settled it permanently. That would have ruined the company in just a few months. But this man kept the company going because he learned how to pray. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, believers, you call resources into your business with prayer. There are things that cannot be taught in business books. That's what we are teaching. They can't be taught in business schools, in business books. The business book won't tell you how to... Listen, it can tell you how to negotiate and to meet people. But there is a man that God has sent. There's a woman that God said will help you. You have never met. You don't know the person. But the word works. You know, I keep on saying it. When I say the word works, listen, it's not a principle that works. The word is not a principle. Please, I hope you're getting my point. The word of God is not a principle. The word of God is a living thing. It means it can respond to situations. It can think. It means it can act. The word will go, wake somebody up and say, you, go and help that young man. You, go and help that young woman. That is the word. The word becomes flesh. It's not only when Jesus was born. No. The word is still becoming flesh till today. The word is still becoming flesh till today. The word becomes flesh. It gets up and it says, listen, I was reading the Deuteronomy chapter the other day. Beautiful illustration for this again. He went into a business that God did not send him into. And he was losing money, hemorrhaging badly on a daily basis. He was going to be wiped out of business entirely in just a month or two. He now went and prayed. And the Lord now said to him, you know, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that you are doing a business I did not send you into. He said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to pull out. But please, send me, somebody needs to buy me out. You know, he started a milling business. storage of grain and all of that. I need somebody to buy me out. He said he quickly looked around. He was alone, but out of embarrassment, he looked around whether anybody was listening. He said, God, please, can the person give me a good price? One man was sleeping. And suddenly, he was woken up at night. And the Lord spoke to him, I want you in the morning to call Demas and offer to buy his milling business. Did you hear what I said? Nobody can teach you that in the business school. The man woke up next day, put a phone call through to Demas Shakarian's father, and said, I want to buy your business. They were like, how did you know we wanted to sell it? Because of time, let me stop the story there. The Holy Spirit woke the man up at night and said, go and buy that guy out of that business. And you know, the business was losing money on a daily basis. But by the time he laid hands on it, the thing began to make money. This is our spiritual. These are things that cannot be taught in a business school. That is why there's something my wife does once in a while. You know, my wife sells things, some those of you know her. The other, you look at her store and say, this is, you have been here for a long time. Let us talk. You now go to them and start laying, literally lay hands. You go in the name of Jesus. Begin to sell. Begin to move. And this, ask her, this is not a joke. Literally, over the next few days, phone will start ringing. And madam, please, do you have this? We'd like to get, that's it. Literally, the phone will start buzzing. And people will start calling. People used to say that business is slow in January. Remember that? Have you remember that? You heard that thing before? Say business is slow in January. Was it 2 years ago or so? Or I said, hey, this is not this January they are talking about. They say business is slow. She just opened her books that I should see. And this is just phone calls. Somebody calls. Somebody calls. Somebody calls. Listen, Christians, use your advantage. You don't need Lagos Business School. Are you getting my point? You don't need Harvard Business School for these things. There are things they can't teach. The problem. The problem with Christians is that we have become worldly. We think worldliness is the kind of skirt we wear or the kind of shirt we wear. Worldliness is when we start thinking that the world's way of success is the way by which people will succeed. Worldliness is when a Christian still thinks that if I don't get a Harvard MBA, I won't break through. Let me tell you how to get a spiritual MBA. I'm very serious about it. I'm not joking. You know, some people know, you know why God made you broke? Or made some things impossible for you? All your friends were going abroad. You finished school. You were working. You were earning well. All of them were saving their money. But you, God made sure that your cousin was still in school. Your brother was still in school. Everybody in your family, they were sapping your money. All your friends now went abroad. They went and got MBA. They went and got, they got that. Let me just give you the reason why you could not go. Do you know why? You were thinking that is the way to get, you know, advancement in this business career, you know. Maybe you're a banker, you work for a stockbroking firm, you want to go into big business. And God said, listen, little boy, I want to ensure that you don't give my glory to another. Do you hear what I said? God said, my glory, I don't want you to give it to another. Now, this is something about being a believer. You know, being a believer is a dangerous game, in quote. Yeah, it's a dangerous game. If you don't want, don't leave Egypt. Stay in Egypt. But once you leave Egypt, either you die in the wilderness. If you don't want to die in the wilderness, just enter the promised land, JJ. Now, to enter the promised land is the interesting part. You will see giants. You will see troubles. And you must still enter. I'm trying to say something here. Listen, if you don't want to die, no, listen, many Christians will be poor in their lives simply because they gave their lives to Christ. And this is the reason. God said, see, you have left the world now. You have to use divine method to get there. If you don't use 100%, you get nothing. That's why as a believer, please take all the nonsense that life will give you while you're obeying the word of God. I don't know whether you get my point. Don't run away from pain and use worldly method to deliver yourself. Because you will be ruined in life, and that one without remedy. I'm serious, though. As believers, you must gather these things, everything we're talking about, and use it. The problem is that, you see, there's a release of divine power that we need to understand. He said, it's the amount of thought and... How did that scripture say again? Okay, Mark chapter 4. The Lord said to them, Mark chapter 4, verse 24. He said, be careful what you are hearing. He said, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Now, please, what my emphasis here is when he said the measure of what? Thought and study. Now, what I'm bringing out here is this. Let me summarize it. The measure of dedication we give to the truth of God we have heard is what will decide how far we will go with God in this our lives. How do I succeed? I'm talking about the power of activating grace by prayer. People will go to school, they want an MBA, they will read and read and read and read. And read and read and read. They will not sleep. They want to advance their career, they will read and read and read. Let me ask you a question. How often, as a believer, have you said, look, oh, I need to do a one-year spiritual MBA? I don't know whether you're getting my point. That it is 1 hour minimum, 6 days minimum, a week of bringing out scriptures that empower me to succeed, contemplating them and declaring them on a daily basis. If you are doing an MBA, you will read your book, you will do assignment. Do this assignment. Say, what has it said about getting, what are the spiritual technologies for getting investments for my business? What are the spiritual technologies? In fact, you know, when I wrote that, I don't know how many of you saw that, there's a seller, I do what I call seller moments. Some of you may have received it. And while I'm just sitting down, a thought just comes to my mind, and I start typing on my phone. So when I finish, I normally send it out as chats, and then to some email, to well, my brethren email group, then now I send to Kingdom World email group. When I send something out, one of my friends in our mailing group, he replied me. He quoted Strive Masiyiwa for me, this same Strive man we're talking about. And the man said he used spiritual technology to raise $1.5 billion. That he used prayer to call it in to invest in business. So when my friend received, he had read that man's story. So he sent it to me. He said, look, this was what this guy said. That listen, he used prayer to raise $1 billion to buy Econet shares. Good. Let me see whether I can quickly. Now listen to this. I want to read what my friend Topsy said. When he got that this thing, what I wrote in that spiritual, that my stellar moment, I asked a question, say, money is good? It's a question. Now, what was I saying by it? I used to say something once in a while. Maybe it was something like this. I see powerful cameras recording clear things and all of that. My wife can testify. People like Bishop, they can. I say, man, money is good, though. That when you have money, you'll buy these kind of cameras. You see those cameras that CNN uses? They are $50,000 for one. When you see them, the first day I saw it, I closed the webpage, sharp, sharp, lest a man be tempted. But my brother, those ones, if that's what we are using for recording, I will be shaving very well every day because every strand of hair will show clearly. There are some that are not even that expensive, but they are just good. This is going of like $10,000. So you see things like that. So I say, hey, money is good, though. There's a way we can transform this place. You come next time, you want to come and check whether you went to heaven. Now, because of that, we make statements like, oh, money is good, though. So, when I say it, look, money is good. The Holy Spirit didn't like me saying it. There's a way I used to know it. Now I say God is good, though. I don't say money is good again. No matter what you tell me, I just say God is good. Because money is not good. It is God that produces. He can use money, he can use other methods. It is the amount of faith you have that decides what comes to you. I don't have time to teach that now. But this is what my friend now said. That's what he read. He said, listen to this. He said, Pastor Banky, so true. Here is my take. The purchasing power of any amount of money, e.g. $1 trillion, cannot be compared with the value of the substance within a believer. Because that substance is the very essence of the person of Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of God. It created the world and money and all value. It is already within the child of God. So the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It said the glory of this world cannot be compared to the glory that should be revealed in us. And so on. That's how he wrote and so on. Let me talk and so on. I ain't writing like that. And so on. He said there are levels. Now this is what my friend wrote. He said there are levels of transaction that are far beyond the capacity of money that a man who is versed in the transaction of the spirit can handle very easily. He said healing is a good example. He said Strive Masiyiwa said once that a person with this asset, this is Strive now preaching. I am paraphrasing him to reflect my understanding of what he actually said. He said, a person with this asset can raise any amount of money needed for business. He said, he himself raised $1.5 billion for the purchase of shares of Econet from other stockholders. That Strive said, I used the power of the Spirit to get $1.5 billion to buy the rest of Econet shares from other people. He said, so wherein lies the difficulty? My friend was writing. All that wealth on the inside requires a transaction mechanism called faith to materialize. The degree to which a person understands and practices the science and the art of faith is the degree to which they can transact with the wealth already on the inside. So we should be learning faith with as much and more effort as we try to make money. For faith is a victory. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He now added with it, Selah. The degree of thought and study you give to the things you are hearing. I'm giving you an assignment if you're a businessman. Go and get your spiritual MBA. Get your spiritual MBA. Maybe on Saturday I'll go into talking about righteousness, reading from Psalm 18. You will settle down and bring forth your principles of righteousness. Forget all this one they are teaching in MIT, teaching in Harvard, teaching in Lagos Business School, teaching in Esut Business School. Forget it. Mary Kay is a case study in Harvard Business School. The woman did not go to a business school. Henry Ford was written as the greatest entrepreneur of all time by an American university. He did not go to a business school. They settled down and studied these people. What Christians need? I like what Ajay Letourneau said. Ajay Letourneau said, if I understood accounting, I would not have been successful. Because I did everything that was senseless, money-wise. When he looked back, he said, my God, I did that. Thank God I did not know it was bad. Listen, the problem is that we don't activate that power. That's what I'm trying to explain. We don't. We make calls, we network, we beg, we call people, we look for extra MBA degrees. Settle down and say, this year, I'm taking my spiritual MBA. What does it mean? What are the scriptures on righteousness? What is the wisdom for my salvation? What did God say about getting the victory when there is opposition? How do I prepare for economic downturn? Should it catch me by surprise? If it will not catch me by surprise, how do I do it? And these things are real spiritual technologies. I hope you're getting my point. They are living, oh God, in the world, in all these school business things, they learn the right things down that are dead on paper. Principles that other men used before. But the word of God is alive. It will tell you, Joseph, 8 years of abundance is coming. But don't worry, there will not be that degree of famine after it. I don't want any special preparations. I don't know whether you get my point. But use the advantage to do this and develop this kind of infrastructure. Don't worry. Don't save for the next few years. That's what you call living word. It's not as if anytime there's a famine coming or abundance is coming, a famine is coming. No, that was what God did that time. You know what you want to do tomorrow. The living word, that's what he does. Listen, let's close. What are my assignments? Go and get your spiritual MBA. You can say, listen, it's 6 months, it's 1 year, or until I'm satisfied, get a book. I didn't get into what I wanted to do today. We'll get into it next time. I wanted to go in details into that warfare by prophecy. Well, maybe next time we'll go into it. We'll continue in it. Look at how we take scripture and decode wisdom. Because, listen, God gave us these promises. The Bible said these promises were given to us so that by them we'll partake of divine nature. That is, we can have God's wisdom by using his promises. I don't know what I get my point. A difficult situation comes up in your business. You look and say, The Bible says he has hidden sound wisdom for the upright. Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive that sound wisdom that you kept for me. Now you will see what God wants done in that situation. You can never find that in the business book. I'm watching my time. Please, let us go home. Let's bow down our heads and pray. Quick, let's just give thanks. That's what we're just going to do. Let's just give thanks. Let's say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, grant me my own spiritual MBA. Grant me my course content. Grant me the things I need to know, the things I need to do. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Let's rise up to our feet and share the grace. Father, we give you thanks for today. Everybody, just put up one hand or two, whichever, as you wish. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of understanding is yours. Amen. Is yours in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Wisdom to excel is yours in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Wisdom for your salvation comes to you now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will run through a troop and leap over a wall.
Amen.
Because God will teach your hand to war.
Amen.
God will teach you what to do so as to succeed where others are failing.
Amen.
In that business you are doing now, there is a lesson that God wants you to learn. There is something new he wants you to do. It may not look reasonable. It may just be learning a particular kind of righteousness. Execute it and victory will come to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.